Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, we're talking about it. I think Nancy Pelosi, maybe he's coming along. We'll find out. We want to do it. I want to do it at a bigger number than she wants. That doesn't mean all the Republicans agree with me, but I think they will in the end. If she would go along, I think they would too.
So we're seeing the president, Nancy Pelosi. From what I understand, there was some sort of like 2 p.m. our time deadline today, or maybe there was a conversation that was going to be happening between Nancy and the White House. That stimulus that we keep talking about, is it going to happen? And the bigger question, should it happen? Let's talk to Stephen Moore about it. He joins us every Monday, and he joins us right now, the senior economic contributor at FreedomWorks and also a visiting fellow at Heritage Foundation. Stephen, thank you so much for coming on with us again. What's your best bet here? Is it going to happen? Is there going to be a stimulus? And then you can tell me why it should or likely shouldn't happen.
Well, first of all, I mean, you gotta just marvel over the chutzpah of Nancy Pelosi, you know, presenting the president of the United States with an ultimatum. Like, you've got 12 hours to come up with a decision or I shoot the hostage, you know? I mean, that was really...
Which would be the American people. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, I hope not. Look, I think this economy is really good right now. You know, we've got the unemployment rates down to a little below 8%. There are still certainly problems with the economy, but they're not the kind of problems that a massive government spending bill can solve. You know, we've got we're going to get a really, really strong number for the third quarter GDP. You know, the sales numbers were good and the spending numbers were good for consumers that came out last week. Housing is strong. Construction is strong. So I just don't really see the need for it. And by the way, I don't think another $2 trillion lopped onto our national debt is a great idea. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but, you know, we've been borrowing, you know, the deficit's going to be already $3 to $4 trillion this year. Do we really want to add another $2 trillion on top of that?
Yeah, no thanks.
Stephen, I watch polls like crazy, and some of the ones I've been seeing lately have been surprising to me, especially in the middle of recovery from this pandemic, economic shutdown, that consumer confidence is high right now, and small business owners are confident right now. I was hoping you could explain that to me.
Yeah, by the way, you're right about both of those things. Small business confidence, by the way, is higher today than it was any time in 8 years that Obama was president. Think about that. Wow. That's an amazing. You know, you're right. In 6 months into a pandemic, that's an incredible statistic. Consumers, you know, rather than looking at their, you know, with what they say to pollsters, just look what they're doing and they're shopping again. You know, the numbers were strong, really surprisingly strong for the amount of money people were going out and spending. And that means they're going back out to restaurants, they're going back out to shops and stores. And, you know, that's a very healthy thing for the economy. And so, you know, this debate that's coming up is really critical. I mean, Trump has got to be presidential. He has to make the case to the American people that he's the steward of the economy that they want. I think most people generally agree that, you know, Joe Biden would not be a very good steward of the economy. But I think he's got to make a very forceful case of this because he's down in the polls. But gosh, you know, he's not down in the polls as much as the liberals. I mean, my goodness, I mean, Biden's people are basically measuring the drapes in the Oval Office. Yeah. Remember when Hillary was doing that 4 years ago?
Yeah.
That didn't turn out too well for her. So
those
I was just, I got to tell
dust.
You guys, I was just in, I was in Florida over the weekend. As you know, Florida's a key battleground state. It's an absolute must-win state for Trump. And everywhere I went, you know, Trump signs everywhere. And, you know, it's interesting. We knocked on some doors, and one of the things we found out is if there is not a Biden sign in front of a house, that means that's a Trump voter. Because we would knock on some of those doors and then people would, you know, whisper to us, yes, I'm going to vote for Trump. But they didn't want to let, you know, to get an egg thrown at their house or something like that. So this is going to be an amazing election. And no, the answer to your guys' question is no, I just don't think spending another $2.5 trillion. And I think, you know, mm-hmm. Pelosi wants $400 billion for New York and California and Illinois and New Jersey and, you know, Connecticut. And that's just not fair to the states that have already balanced their budgets.
Stephen, we call that whispering thing here on the Andy Frye Show the Wiggins effect. People always whisper to me that they like Ryan Wiggins, and I'm always like, why won't you say it out loud?
You know what? Stephen Moore always tells me I ask him good questions, so I'm just going to hang my hat on that.
Yeah, every time we get done talking to you, Stephen Moore, Ryan's got to talk about when you say, well, that's
a
great
question. By the way, I call these the undercover Trump voters, you know, the ones who are not showing up in the polls, but they the opinion polls, but they show up in the voter polls, and those are the ones who will carry Trump to victory. I mean, look, right now I really do believe it's a toss-up, and I see these, you know, people on CNN, 90% chance that Biden's going to win. I'm like, wait a minute, you're the same people who said 90% chance that Hillary Clinton was going to win.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you that, though, because you're 100% right about people not really wanting to broadcast their support for this president. You've worked you know the president personally. We don't. We only see what we see at the rallies and read what we read on Twitter. But you know this man personally, and you support him publicly, and you've criticized him too for things when you felt as though that was necessary. But what is it about President Trump that, with your personal connection with him, what is it that you know about him that you wished that these other Americans who were whispering their support, if even, what do you wish that they would know?
Well, let me say that I've always said this. I say this in my book, Trumponomics. There is a good and a bad and an ugly with Donald Trump. I mean, he's a complicated person, but he is a good man. Sometimes his antics and behavior is a little bit juvenile, and I think that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But I think the thing that I admire the most about Trump, and I think this may be obvious to your listeners, so I hope it's not insulting, because it is a pretty obvious point. This is a man who truly does put America first. I mean, it's not just a slogan with him. Every decision he makes is, how will this affect working class Americans? And one of the things that disappointed me in that debate, the first, you know, catastrophic debate, and it was a bad, bad debate. It was a bad performance. I told him, he knows I'm mad at him for that debate. But, you know, the last question was, what are you most proud of, you know, as president? And he said something about putting good people on the court. And that, you know, that was a fine. That was something you certainly should be proud of. But that is not the thing that, when I've talked to him, he doesn't say that. What he said to me so many times is, what I'm most proud of is what I've done for minorities in this country. You know, and we brought the unemployment rate down to the lowest level ever for blacks and Hispanics. Biggest income gains for blacks and Hispanics. He wants to give millions of black and Hispanic low-income parents school vouchers so they can go to good schools. He did the civil justice reform to let nonviolent criminals, you know, who were maybe drug users, out of jails, to give them a second chance in life. He's very proud of that, justifiably. And I have to tell you, he is very injured by and really hurt by this talk that he's some kind of racist. Mm-hmm. He's not a racist. I mean, I look at the people who are around him who are blacks and Hispanics. They love the guy. So he treats people very well.
Stephen, you mentioned that you told the president that you didn't like his debate performance. That amazes me that you've got that relationship with him. Going into this next debate, do you know that he's preparing differently, or that he's going to strike a different tone, or does he prepare really at all?
I sure hope so. I mean, the one thing I've learned about Donald Trump is Donald Trump is going to do what Donald Trump is going to do. You know, I mean, you can give him advice, and sometimes he follows it, and sometimes he doesn't. But you know, he's going to be Donald Trump, and so, you know, he has that personality that sometimes people think is abrasive, but I think a lot of Americans really understand that he's a guy who does put America first. To answer your question, I sure hope so, because, you know, sometimes it, like, I'm a sports fan, and I almost like it better in the fourth quarter when my team's down a little bit by a few points than up by a few points, because I feel like, I'd rather be down, 3 points in a football game than up 3 points, because, you play harder. And I think that's one thing about Trump. He rallies. He's a winner. This guy is a winner. And I just laugh. I want the liberals to say, oh, yeah, we got it all wrapped up. We're getting ready for the, we're putting together our transition team and so on. And you know, good, good. Let him play like that, because I think Trump's from a Trump is the come from behind kid. And, you know, but in terms of what he's going to do in that debate, I can't predict. But I think, you know, what he's got to do, apart from his just behavior, I hope he's not rude, because he was rude to Biden. And I think that rubbed people a long way. But I think he's got to set down the course and say, look, I rebuilt the American economy. The economy was not strong under Biden. It was weak. It was weak. It was a bad economy. He took over and created an incredible economy. And then he could say, look at where we are today. We're way, way ahead of where anybody thought we would be. We're way ahead of Europeans. You know, I am rebuilding this economy. You all know that I can do this. And you know that Joe Biden is not the right man to do it. So it's the economy, it's our pocketbook, it's our life savings, it's our retirement accounts, it's the jobs for us and our children. And just lay it out there for people saying, I want lower taxes, I want to save our oil and gas industry, I want to have, you know, tougher trade deals with China and so on. Biden's on the opposite side of that. Really lay out the contrast.
Stephen Moore, always a pleasure to have you on here, and it's so refreshing.
Oh, I got to tell you, a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
just don't add Ryan Wiggins to the end of that. Well, man, every time Ryan asks you a question and you go, oh, that is such a great question, Katie and I have to hear about it for a week until we come back on here.
Well, he does. Yeah. He gets to the heart of the matter. All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too. You later. As well. Talk to you later. Stephen Moore, senior economic contributor to FreedomWorks and a visiting fellow at Heritage Foundation. Yeah, we know Ryan. How much do you pay him per response of... That was it. Ryan, that is such a good question. Every time that happens, I go, oh, here we go.
Look, it's not right for me to pay him to do that, but I will say that I've bought over 1,000 Trumponomic books.
My library is full of leather-bound Trumponomics.
Yes. Just that one title, but I do have many leather-bound books.
Yeah, Ryan has an entire room dedicated to Stephen Moore books. He's got to buy one every time Stephen Moore says, that's such a great question, Ryan. Please. Yeah, you're single-handedly keeping Stephen Moore in business. He's a New York bestseller, New York Times bestseller, simply because of Ryan Wiggins. It's pretty amazing.
Like Jay-Z when it comes to buying my own albums.
Let's take a quick break, and I want to follow up a little bit on something Stephen Moore said here, because we had this conversation last week about the contract with Black America, and I have to say that a lot of people might have felt like, Annie, why are you talking about this? Well, that story developed a little bit over the weekend, and I'm really glad that we did discuss it last weekend. We are going to follow up on that. Ice Cube, who has put together this contract with Black America, which is extremely broad. I disagree with many things in it, but I am intrigued by some other things that are included in it. He went on Chris Cuomo, and then he threw down with Don Lemon on Twitter. It was pretty amazing to see. Ice Cube is got a message to Democrats. I'll have that for you when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Anytime we play George Strait, I think of Elizabeth McDonald on Fox okay. Business. Because when she comes on the show, two times in a row we've played country music, and she's like, what is this honky-tonk stuff you've got going on? Tell me more about it. Like, she all of a sudden asks, like, this is the only place where she can go to find out about country music.
She's never heard of country music.
And we're in St. Louis, Missouri. It's not like we're in Nashville or, like, southern Georgia or something like that. I love it.
Me too.
I'm like, what kind of music do you listen to? We were going to make her a playlist. We never did that.
Oh, shit.
She listens to all German electronic music, as I understand it.
Mm. When we were talking last week about... what was that one song, that one EDM song we played? Dancing in the Moonlight.
Yep.
And I asked Katie, I go, is this EDM? So then we started talking about like old people needing to understand the young people language. And so we said, I use the weird word FOMO, which is fear of missing out, folks at home who are playing. Fear of missing out. FOMO is a word that people say. And we said, you know what we should do is we should just educate the people who aren't in this lingo so that they know it. And then you need to casually use it at your socially distanced Thanksgiving meals around the young people and act like this is how you talk. And my mom messaged me and she's like, please sign me up for old people vocabulary education. And she told me that she was previously, before we even discussed this, Googling what EDM is.
Gosh, that makes me happy. I love it.
Electronic dance music.
I can't wait to get old enough that I can start trying to dress younger so that I look younger and look like I'm trying to dress younger.
But don't you look older by trying to dress younger when you're older?
Yes, that's the idea. You're trying too hard. I'm going to look even more lame than I ever have by dressing younger when I get older.
And you're even more lame than I ever have. Write that down.
I can't wait for that time either, Ryan.
Candy, have you noticed Ryan's looking extra lame lately? Is he trying to look like he's in his 40s instead of his 50s? What is it about that?
But see, that conversation would happen behind my back. I'm only worried about what people say to me,
Ryan,
which is they'll be like, man, you're so fun lately, Ryan.
You think that Katie and I have a lot of conversations about you behind your back, which is actually not true at all.
Everything you got to say, we say it to your face. It's,
yeah, not just to your face, but to St. Louis.
Yeah. It's always nice to know that people don't care about you.
No, not at all. We care enough to go straight to the source. I want to reassure you that Katie and I don't have
we don't think about you very often.
This is a lose-lose situation, it appears. Either we do or we don't talk about you behind your back. And we don't. And if we did, it wouldn't be about what you're wearing.
It would not be
about things of substance.
So, well, that's weird because Katie and I, when we talk, I'm like, have you thought about Annie lately? And she's like, yeah, actually, I have. Here's my thoughts.
In my mid-30s, I'm way past caring what people say about me behind my back. There was a time in my life where that would have consumed me, and I've gone through enough things this far, and I assume that I'm going to go through enough things in the future that if you're talking about me, then I must have some space in your brain, and if that's good, fantastic. If it's bad, then I'm sorry that I hurt you that way. Moving on, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I can't care about it. I just got to do the best I can. I want to shift gears here real quick and talk about Ice Cube, because last week we were discussing the contract with Black America, and if you haven't read through this, I encourage you to do so, because the contract with Black America is a proposal that Ice Cube has put together, and he's explicitly saying, this is not for people of color. This is for Black Americans. And, you know, I have heard a lot of politicos discussing how, in many cases, Black Americans feel disenfranchised by the idea of, you know, the idea that people of color all together have the same interests. So, like, suggesting that all white people have the same interests, it's a little short-sighted and a little shallow, don't you think? There are a lot of white people in our country who have different interests than other white people in our country. And then to suggest that because your skin is not white, therefore you are a person of color, that they all have the same interests, that's just not exactly true. And each of the cultures have different priorities and perspectives and probably political wants and asks. And so when Ice Cube came out with his contract with Black America, he shared it with the Biden campaign. He shared it with the Trump campaign. The Biden campaign said, looks great. I would like to talk to you about this after the election. And the Trump campaign said, looks great. Let's sit down and discuss it. Do you have some time? So Ice Cube went and sat down with the Trump campaign to discuss his contract with Black America, which I'm telling you, folks, when you read through it, it is not a Republican conservative platform. And I'm sure that before the Trump campaign said, yes, let's sit down and discuss this, they read through it and they knew that. But they still invited Ice Cube to sit down and discuss it. Shouldn't that say something to people who are looking at what is available to them? And also this constant drumbeat that's out there that your skin color will somehow dictate the way you're going to vote. That's kind of the whole point of what Ice Cube is trying to say here. And listen to his comments here regarding, hold on a second, I think I clicked the wrong one, regarding what political parties have to offer specifically Black Americans.
So, you know, I think the Democrats, they, you know, they got every Black celebrity on their team, so they just figure, you know, tell kids to shut up and vote. And so I ain't gonna do that. You know, I'm gonna push the program.
So I ain't gonna do that. You know, he's suggesting here that if what the Democrats think is shut up and vote, and then we can discuss what we can do for you after we win the election, Ice Cube says, I ain't gonna do that. This is seismic. I don't know if it's going to have the effect immediately in this election. You've got Kanye West putting out a strong campaign right now for people to write in his name. How many people are going to be like, oh, I don't, fine, I'll vote for you instead of Trump? And how many people are going to be like, oh, you ain't Black, or write in Kanye's name? Think I might send a message here and write in Kanye's name. There is something taking place right now where Americans are starting to look at what they've been getting for their vote, and they're reacting differently than they have before. And the idea that Ice Cube, because he put together this contract with Black America, would sit down with the Trump administration and somehow or another be betraying his you know, community of sorts, is pretty short-sighted.
Who knows what's really going to happen after November 3rd? Nobody knows from each side. We're all hoping that candidates keep their campaign promises. So that's just it.
So let's look at it this way. I think that you're right to be skeptical. Let's start with the Democrats, because even though there is a traditional connection between Black voters and the Democrats, you could also say you've been let down or forgotten by Democrats in a lot of situations that would have mattered.
Did Chris Cuomo just admit that the Democrats have let down Black people and suggest that you do need to get something for your vote? Did Chris Cuomo on CNN just admit that? Did Ice Cube finally get on CNN because Cuomo canceled on him the night before and then rebooked him for the following night? Did Chris Cuomo just say that Black Americans should be skeptical about what Democrats have promised them in the past? And that Ice Cube is on to something, that they need to be pressed because the vote isn't something that is just a given? Because I think Ice Cube did get him to say that.
Then you say, all right, so then what makes one side better than the other? That's where you get in trouble.
Wait, that's where you get in trouble, Ice Cube, for what? In trouble for what? You've just admitted, Chris Cuomo, that you've got to be able to get something for your vote, that vote isn't an automatic thing, that vote that the Black American is going to cast shouldn't be as simple as, if you don't vote for me as a white old dude, I get to tell you that you ain't Black. I'm sorry, I didn't know that Joe Biden was the dealer of Black cards in America, and that he was able to rescind them from anybody who didn't vote as he told them to. I mean, that sounds like a kind of enslavement in and of itself. Who the heck does Joe Biden think he is to be able to dictate the qualifications for being Black in America based on who you vote for? I really do believe that comment by Joe Biden has caused a seismic shift in how Americans think.
Which is, do you really think that Donald Trump can be trusted as much as you could trust Joe Biden?
I'm not trusting any of them. I'm just going by action. That's all I'm going by. I'm not going by words, not going by rhetoric, not going by media spin, not going by none of that. You know, I'm not on nobody's team. Not on team.
When he says he's not on anybody's team here, you know what he's really saying? I'm not on the Democrats' team, because nobody, you know, Ice Cube isn't all of a sudden going to just be like, yeah, Republican. I mean, what Kanye West did, there was an amount of time that took place where Kanye West tweeted out simply, I like the way she thinks regarding Candace Owens. And then he backed that up with suggesting that she thought for herself. His support for the president over the course of time was a public display that was evolving. And it's ebbed and flowed over the course of time as well. Suggesting that Ice Cube is going to now become like a MAGA hat wearing Republican supporter, we don't know that. And if you read the contract with Black America that he's put out, that he's trying to get people to pay attention to, it is not something that conservative Republicans are going to pick up and implement in whole. But the Republicans had their minds open. They were willing to sit down and have a discussion. And the Democrats said, not only did the Democrat candidate say, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. They said, you will vote for me, and then we will have a discussion about it.
Team blue, not on team red.
So then I have that wrong.
I'm an independent person, and I believe that's what black people need to do is become independent, and we need to get something for our vote. You know, that may not happen, but it's going to happen.
Got to happen.
So then Chris Cuomo follows up on this. And he ends up, the most important clarification that Chris Cuomo wants to get across here is that Ice Cube is not on Team Trump. That is the most important thing for Cuomo's viewers to understand.
It's just an enormous wealth gap that keeps growing. It's not getting smaller. Do the research and you'll see this is the problem in America. It's because black people have no capital. We own half of a point. When it comes to all the wealth in America, half of a point, 13.5% people living off half of a point. We cannot survive in America another 100 years living like this.
The issue is real. The problem is properly identified. They do have access to capital of about $500 billion, but it doesn't say that it would be earmarked within the Trump plan for communities of color.
So here you have Chris Cuomo looking at what the Trump campaign in the Platinum Plan, which was put together with the advisement of Ice Cube. You've got Cuomo criticizing what the Republicans have put in their Platinum Plan. Cuomo, now do Biden. Oh, that's right. Biden said, I'm not going to talk to you until after the election. There is a plan that Ice Cube was allowed to advise upon from the Republican Party. The Republican Party, folks, not the Democrat Party. You can critique the Republican plan that exists to invest in black America and to give them extra opportunity to succeed in this country because a plan actually exists. The plan on the Democrats' part, legit, we'll discuss it after the election. You got to be kidding me.
But we'll see what you can get done, and I make you this promise. Not just because I'm a fan, but the issue matters. As you learn and as you see action and reaction or inaction, you have a place on this show to discuss it. That's a guarantee.
I appreciate it, Chris. Yeah, I'll be back to discuss and let you know what I know, what I find out. But I'm gonna give it to you straight up.
You know, when you listen to what Ice Cube is doing here, he's unbought. This guy has not sold himself, and he is telling America that he's not for sale. He has something to say, and he needs people who are willing to listen. Nothing happens until people are willing to listen. I'm challenging you to go and look up the contract with Black America and read through it. And I am reiterating that there is an enormity to this that I would not agree to, that I don't think is what would be best for Americans, no matter their color. But I wanted to read it so I could speak on it from an educated standpoint. And I read through it, and there were things that were pointed out in there from a perspective that I don't have in my life that require me to listen to the other side to hear what they're saying. And I'll tell you, there are things that Ice Cube has said in this contract with Black America that I would put differently, or that if I were having that conversation with him, I would challenge, not from the foundational truth that exists, but how when I add in my perspective from it, I see it a little bit differently, like the idea of a wage gap or a wealth gap, I believe. Is there a wealth gap between white America and Black America? It's statistically provable that there is. But I want it to be called an opportunity gap, and I want to close that opportunity gap so that every black boy and black girl that is born in this country knows that they have the same opportunities as any white kid that's born in this country. And if there's anything that's hindering that, I want to remove those hindrances so that the opportunity is the same. And then the American thing is, you get to make what you want out of it. You get the opportunity to succeed, and you get the opportunity to try again if you fail. And that's colorblind. It sure should be. Look at what this president and this Trump administration and this Trump campaign has put together in the Platinum Plan. Look at what's being asked in the contract with Black America, and you will see the intersections that exist there. Now go find Biden's plan. It doesn't exist. because Biden's plan for Black America is vote for me. It'll all be okay. And unfortunately, he's been saying that for 47 years. I think people are waking up. Let's take a quick break. We'll discuss it when we come back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So can I ask you to do me a favor? Suburban women, will you please like me?
You gotta be kidding me. Just getting straight to the point.
Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't beat around the bush much.
You got Joe Biden saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, and Donald Trump begging suburban. Like, I'm not even gonna say the things that I think you want to hear, or that all of my advisors say this, it'll play really well with the suburban women. He says, suburban women, will you please like me? Like, yeah, I do. I like you.
I'm glad you're being upfront with your feelings.
It's so funny. He's
at the demographics. Show me I need you. Please vote for me.
He was out in front. I guess, was he boarding a plane or something,
yes.
Katie?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And he's taking some questions from reporters. Let's listen in here real quick to see some of what he had to say.
With what?
Did they kind of have the moderator be able to turn off the mics? Is that what
I have no idea. I'm doing this. What am I doing to prepare? I'm doing this. I've done very well in debates, and you know, you do what you do. You just do what you do. The last debate, I had 2-on-1. I usually have 2-on-1 at least, and I did well on the last debate, and we did well with Savannah Guthrie based on reports. But all you can do is, look, you know, you go around, we do interviews with you. This is like, I call this debate prep. This is actually tougher than a debate, if you want to know the truth.
Will you do the testing before the debate, and were you authorized? Will you do the testing before the debate, and were
a
you
testing?
Yes, the COVID testing. And were you authorized your doctors to tell us when?
Sure, I would have no problem with it.
So he's boarding his next flight, and they're saying, what are you doing to prepare for the debate? I'm doing this. I'm actually talking to people and taking questions. You can ask me whatever you want, and I have to come up with an answer. Where's Joe Biden? That's what I would ask. Where is he? Oh, he's... First of all, you guys, how do you feel about this phrase, call the lid? I'm tired of it.
Yeah, I'm tired of it, too.
I've just learned it this season. So
same.
But that's why I don't like it. Like, it's like somebody said it, and then it was like the cool new lingo. I hate lingo. I don't know if you're seeing a
trend.
Yeah. I don't like when people like create new phrases and then everybody is like looking for opportunities to say the cool new phrase.
I felt so stupid because whenever they started saying that phrase, I'm like, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
That stinks because I think cool new phrases are pretty jiggy.
Yeah. What about old cool phrases?
I don't participate in those.
What about being in your 40s dressing like you're 19?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Look, you guys are going to be real shocked when I show up at the debate party on Thursday night with my cool baggy pants and my skateboard and my sunglasses.
Like dressed as Antifa?
Man, I'm going to be holding the Molotov cocktail. I hope you'll let me in.
My daughter's going to answer and be like, Ryan's here. He looks silly.
I'm just going to throw that Molotov cocktail.
You need to show up with some like backwards overalls. Isn't that crisscross in the late 80s, early 90s?
Mm-hmm. Golly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we've been doing weird things our entire lives.
What's new?
How come they don't seem as weird in the moment?
I don't know.
Maybe they just do to old people.
Yeah,
maybe I'm now older. The old people.
Yeah,
2020, everything's crazy.
Joe Biden called a lid at 9 a.m. today, and we'll have a lid all week until the debate. I'm like, no, stop it. Speak in English.
Just be like Trump and say what you mean.
I agree with you almost 100% of the time on the lingo stuff, but for some reason, lid is so new to me that I'm like, oh, lid, that's cool. Lid.
You just explained exactly what I just said about why I hate it.
I know.
Because I'm like, oh, it's a cool new word. Let's take it out for a spin.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
But if it's internal dialogue, this isn't just like pop culture stuff. It was what they always used that now just crossed over into mainstream. That's why I'm fascinated by it.
Yeah. If it's okay, you know, you call it shop talk or whatever. Yeah. There are things that we do in radio or in broadcasting. It irks me when those words get used on the air. Like if I ever say something that is lingo that we would understand that maybe you wouldn't. When you're communicating with somebody, you need to speak in the language they understand. And if you think that saying words that is like an insider, if you think that makes you look cool, that's douchey. I don't know. I don't think
that makes me look cool, and I am a bit of a douche.
No, you are not, Ryan.
Let me run this one by you. You can tell me whether you think this is insider stuff or not. When I was in music radio, they told me that I could not use the word single to describe a new song. Like, here's so-and-so's new single.
Why?
Because apparently that's insider lingo.
Well, no, I get it. You could just say song, and people know that. And a single, and that's kind of interesting because that's in the days where albums were discussed more than now.
And downloads. Yeah.
Which I'm really glad. That's an enormously amazing segue that you didn't know you're doing. I just got a text from my sister-in-law, and she said, listening to your show while my nephew naps in the car reminded me, when is your co-host Katie's Christmas album coming out? Number one fan.
Oh, wow. I don't know what to say.
The people need to know. Number one fan. That's it. That's the tweet. That's another one. Oh, it makes me crazy. I don't like it.
That's so sweet.
When is it? When is your album coming out?
I don't know.
We should make an album. Can we make an album?
Yes. Heck yeah.
Ryan, you write 2020 parody Christmas songs, and Katie can sing them, and we could put it out.
Mm-hmm.
We could even put out a single.
I'll do that. I've always wanted to do a Christmas album, but here's the deal. If I do it, I get to name the album.
But it has all of our names tagged onto it.
No, it's just going to be Katie Fitzpatrick.
I didn't say my name.
And the name of the album would be Nog.
That's how we promote it.
N-O-G, Nog. That's the name of your album.
I think we could do this.
That'd be really fun.
I'll play it. It's all acoustic. I'll play the guitar on it because Christmas songs are easy to play. I play the guitar, but yes, I play like maybe 6 or 7 chords comfortably. And if it has something in there that I don't immediately know, I just skip that song.
You also play the piano.
Yeah.
Do they have to be Christmas songs that we're making into parodies, or can I make a regular song into a Christmas song as a parody?
No, if it's a Christmas album, don't do that.
Don't get it
twisted. If it's a Christmas album, it needs to be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Yeah, it needs to be
Annie,
like,
your name has to be on this. That is the only way people are going to be interested. You've got to be on it. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking about doing Comfortably Numb, but about mistletoe and calling it Comfortably Hung.
No, Katie, my name will not be on this. That's official. Maybe the idea is done. Two points to your point, Katie. Two counterpoints is that if we want people to know about it and those types of ideas are happening, I don't want my name on it. And if my name isn't on it, then maybe nobody will know about it.
Annie Fry brings you Comfortably Hung.
By the chimney. Do you care?
I'm sorry. I hope my nephew is still sleeping.
I also want to do all like kind of downer depressing songs.
Okay. Ryan's off the project.
I was going to say, Ryan, you can float ideas out there, and Katie and I will refine them, which is usually okay. What happens anyway.
That's fair. Yeah, what's new?
Yeah, if my name is going to be anywhere near this, you know what this should be? It should be a Christmas 2020 Christmas album. The Mark Cox Morning Show. There we go. That's what we have. And you guys can just put it together and we'll put it out there and we'll just give this. That'll be our Christmas gift to Mark Cox and Trisha and Denise.
And they throw it in a corner and never listen to it.
You could get Denise to sing on it. She's classically trained. She's amazing.
Yeah.
This is happening.
All right.
I'll just be a happy fan. Thanks, Meg, for the idea. Fantastic. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.